Good morning. Take a look outside. It's pretty much what we're going to be seeing for the rest of the day. Only with a little more rain. 58 degrees what we got going right now. It is our Monday talk around. I mentioned it was going to be a busy morning, and not to disappoint, we are talking Southern Prairie Activity and Recreation Center for Wellness. I know you've heard a lot about it. A lot of residents have. A lot of people got questions. That's why we're doing this. Amanda in to talk with us this morning. Good morning, Amanda.
Good morning.
Good to have you on the morning show.
Good to be here.
Well, let's talk a little bit about this project. People got questions. People wanting to know, first of all, how did this come about? How was there ever any talk of this wellness center?
Well, it started out as a grassroots effort. Just so happened that one day in the park, I ran into a friend of mine, and we kind of just started talking about what was happening in the community, and we talked about a wellness and community center, and it just kind of flourished from there.
So
one step after another, and here we are today.
And there was a need for it, and there obviously is a need based on the percentages with people that going, yeah, I think this would be a great opportunity.
Absolutely. And, you know, we started this because, you know, we're moms.
Right.
And we hear over and over again, you know, there's nothing for our kids to do in the winter. We need more amenities. There's businesses saying we can't recruit families to get them to come down here and want to make their home Wahpeton.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, what can we do about this? How can we make our community better? And that's how this project came to life.
So tell me, Amanda, what are some of the questions as this thing, you know, picks up speed? What have been some of the questions you're hearing from residents, Wahpeton residents?
Well, a big question is, you know, what type of tax increase are we requesting? And it's a sales tax. A sales tax is, you know, what you pay tax on things you purchase, right?
Exactly.
So it's a 1% sales tax. So 1 cent for every dollar would go towards the construction of this facility.
Okay.
And that's one thing that people can get confused about. So I think that's important to point out.
So if this thing goes through, bring us up to speed then. When would the work actually begin?
Well, there's been a pre-design phase that already took place, and JLG Architects was hired for that purpose. So if this passes, the next design phase could start ASAP.
Okay.
And we could start moving forward and just basically gathering more information and getting our plan, you know, completed to then go to bids. And hopefully as soon as next year, we could break ground.
So if it comes to fruition, you're going to hit the ground running is what you're saying with this, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And where's the location of this going to be too? I've had that asked too of me a couple of times, and it's like, this is going to be out by Walmart, correct?
No. So we have a new location for this vote.
And see, you're educating me already. So I love this.
So NDSCS graciously offered to do a long-term lease with the facility next to the Blickery on the corner of 14th Avenue and 11th Street.
Okay.
That is an ideal location, mm-hmm. Central location near our schools. When we toured other facilities, we learned that lots of kids just flow to these facilities after school is out. And so it just couldn't be a better location.
Give us a little overview about what's going to all go into the building. What are we going to see here?
So the current plans include two gymnasiums, as well as an aquatic center, which would have a zero-depth entry pool, you know, for seniors and small children.
Right.
We don't have anything like that in town. We would have an indoor play park, which would be unique to this region. And in the wintertime, even people from Fargo are looking for things to do, bring their kids to. And we would have an indoor turf, which you can do so many different things, baseball, football, soccer. You can have inflatables, birthday parties, you know, the sky's the limit.
Right.
There would be an elevated walking track that would be always available. And, you know, as you walk around, you could watch people play basketball or kids swimming in the pool, and as well as a small fitness area and a group fitness room or two, depending on how the whole plan shakes out.
Great place for people to just gather, too, correct?
Yes, and I forgot to mention that the community room. There's
right.
A community center component to this project. I'd say it's the heart of the building. And off of this, the senior center is hoping to rebrand and have a room off of the community center calling themselves the 1901 Club. And there would be a kitchen in that space as well, which would also be used by the community and by the 1901 Club. And there's entities talking about doing cooking classes, nutrition health, all sorts of different opportunities for that.
New.
Mm-hmm.
You got to love that, and definitely a nice progression. Pass the mic over to His Honor the Mayor, Brett Lambrecht, over here. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning. How are you doing, Reverend?
Good to, good to have you in here. And talking about this project. How excited are you to get this thing off the ground, Mr. Mayor?
I'm excited for it, for what it can do for our community, I feel. And, you know, and the Grassroots Committee has worked hard since 2000, like, actually, year 2000 probably it started, but 2001 they really hit the ground running. 2021. So it's just been a lot of planning, a lot of meetings just to go through. We had a mayor's ad hoc committee. I think we've had over like 35 meetings total just to, you know, get this, to do it right, to get it right, to do it. And the building will not be connected to the college. It'll be a city-owned building.
Okay.
The city won't. There's a lease that's renewable. That's a 99-year lease for, it's a dollar a year. And then there's both at the terms, if the, 99 years from now, then the lease can just be renewed by both parties agreeing, which will be an easy asset, you know, to do. So, yeah, so really it's been a great, when you look at what it can do, like everybody comes up to me and says, we can't get doctors, we can't get different people, I can't get employers to work here, because they come here and they look at our community and what do you have for amenities? That's what they're, that's what the people want. You
mm-hmm.
know, their spouse wants amenities, their children want amenities. And
right.
like Amanda mentioned, in the wintertime, it just gets tough to, you know, in the winter, sometimes our winters are brutal and there's not things to do. And this would really do a lot for everybody. And then it's, I look at it, like she mentioned, it'd be all ages from almost like from diapers all the way up to over 100 years old. So we'll mm-hmm. take anybody, any age they will in the building, you know. So it's a great facility, in double story indoor playground, aquatic center. There'll be lap lane swimming. And then one thing about it is, like, for seniors are doing therapy, we're gonna for the businesses, we're gonna include them in there. So we're gonna help promote their business. So they want to come in and help run their business and do programming for us in that facility through the Parks and Rec Department. We're gonna help them do that. So we're not gonna shy anybody away. We want businesses to grow off this too.
Right.
So it's a great thing. And then you look at people that have to do therapy, like you've done therapy before, Bill.
I'm doing it right now. Yeah.
Right. So we can have this pool where it's 98 degrees and you just walk into it gradually. And you can go depth you want, and then the
nice.
People can be there to help, and the seniors can do that too, whatever. And Valley City built one, and they had some people that weren't for it, and at the end, the senior group, and at the end, they said, this is the best thing that ever happened to our community. And Dave Carl Drew, the mayor, it's happened in Jamestown and Williston. All those communities have come back, and especially Valley City, and just said, you know, that group of ladies said, we should have voted yes for this, and now we're so glad we have this, and it's the best thing that's ever happened. They have their coffee group. They solved all the town's problems, and they can contact me then, you know.
Brett, listen, as far as people running this, who's going to kind of be overseeing this and running it once it does get built?
So the umbrella will come down. We did an MOU with the city and the park district and the college, a memorandum of understanding. So... And then the park board will be the operator of the facility. City-owned building run by the park board. So the Wapton Parks and Recreation will be the facility coordination director. And then it'll be a facility manager that does the marketing, membership, events manager, aquatics, playground, and parties. A recreation manager will do the rec programming, gyms, and turf. And there'll be administration offices for the senior center and for the park district right there, too. And then you have your maintenance and custodial, you know, whatever.
Wow.
So, yeah. Yeah.
There's a lot going into that. Would you not agree too, Brett, because I've heard this from people too, that the buildings and the public facilities that we have, that some of the buildings have kind of, I mean, they've been there, they've been good to us, but kind of outlived their usefulness. Wouldn't
right.
you agree
yeah.
on that?
It's you know, our buildings are old, but they've been well taken care of. But yeah, we need updated new facilities and bigger facilities to run. And we have people traveling to Fargo and all the way to Fargo to get do their stuff, and then this would keep everything right in town, local. And we have a lot of people that have said, well, we want to come to Wapton if this is built. People from Barnesville, people from Sisseton, and people from Milner, all the way around the region. We gain all those people in, and on the sales tax that on this 60% of our sales tax comes from out of town people and 40% from in town. So 60% of the building would be approximately
funded
funded from people from out of town.
And it's a penny on the dollar.
Right.
So,
yep.
Yeah. You
and right now, our sales,
that.
The Wapaton sales tax is 2. Outside all the cities out here, Waimea, Ledgewood are 3%, and Fargo is 2.75%. So, so spending the gas to go to Fargo and stuff, we can save that. And why pay for the Fargo Dome and the diversion if we can have our own building that we can help pay for?
That's
you know?
A win-win.
Oh,
I mean, you know, now you're explaining
If the vote goes through, do I want to pay a penny on a sales tax? I don't, but I want something in my community so I don't have to drive and I can
exactly.
stay here. And it builds our town, it builds our people, it brings people to our town, it brings all the things we talked about and things for kids to do and a great facility for seniors and all ages. you know.
Absolutely. Yep. Brett, listen, we're out of time. We could talk a lot more about this. anything else you want to add before we wrap it up?
Just I just encourage people to get out and vote tomorrow. Voice your opinion. Please voice your opinion. Wahpeton City Hall, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Come voice your opinion and what you want in your what you want or don't want in your town.
So. Absolutely. Make your voices heard. Yep. Brett, Amanda, thanks so much for stopping by this morning. Appreciate it.
Yep. Thank
929 here at the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450, KBMW. Got a cloudy sky right now, 58 degrees. Good morning.
This is the Ag Central Radio Network. I'm News and Farm Director Eric Johnson. A vital communication tool is at risk in rural America. In this week's commentary, American Farm Bureau Federation President Zippy Duvall calls for the preservation of AM radio and new car construction.
There's a troubling trend among automakers who are considering removing AM radio from their new cars. AM radio is not just a convenience. It's a critical lifeline of information for rural America. Remote areas lack reliable broadband coverage, so farmers and their families rely on radio for current markets, breaking news, and perhaps most importantly, severe weather alerts. Those who work in the open and miles from home, response time is critical. The American Farm Bureau supports the AM Radio in Every Vehicle Act, which would require automakers to maintain AM radio in their vehicles. We encourage you to join us and letting lawmakers know that everyone deserves access to critical information at home and on the go. I'm Zippy Duvall, President of American Farm Bureau Federation.
Interested parties seeking funding for agricultural trade promotion through one or more of the USDA's programs have until early June to apply. Rod Bain has more on the story.
USDA's slate of agricultural trade promotion programs is now open for funding applications for the upcoming 2026 fiscal year.
Applications for the Market Access Program, the Foreign Market Development Cooperator Program, the Technical Assistance for Specialty Crops Program, and the Emerging Markets Program.
Foreign Agricultural Service Acting Associate Administrator Mark Slupak says applications for all four programs are being accepted through June 6th.
The Market Access Program provides $200 million annually through the Farm Bill, with the other three programs totaling about $50 million.
The public-private partnership through these ag trade promotion programs
support a wide range of products, from bulk commodities to specialty crops and value-added goods. They help both maintain existing markets and open new ones.
More details about USDA ag trade promotion programs and program applications are available online at www.fas.usda.gov.
Sometimes all you need to get started is a good idea, one good idea. That's the theory behind the One Good Idea program. Jenny Seifert, Watershed Outreach Specialist at the University of Wisconsin Extension Service, talks about the program.
The way to think about it is an online platform for farmer-to-farmer learning about conservation practice adoption. So when I mean conservation practices, I mean anything from cover crops to no-till to, you know, efficient irrigation to nutrient management, sort of the gamut of conservation practices that farmers can do on their operations to improve their soil and their land and hopefully eventually their bottom line as well.
That's a check of our Ag News update on the Ag Central Radio Network.
Morning Ag News and Markets brought to you this hour by Farmers Union Oil of Southern Valley.
When you run a fleet business, delay is a dirty word. What fuels me to stay on schedule? My clients, their clients, and everyone's bottom line. What fuels my fleet?